Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On with us today is Dean Hollings, who is a retired colonel from the Air Force, where he worked as an IT cyber officer. So quite a bit of background here. Dean currently is the senior solution strategist for public sector at Forescout. And we're going to talk about what Forescout does later on. But first, today is about, we're really going to dig into this new emerging Internet of Things. So welcome today, Dean. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Definitely. Good to have you. So, Dean, first of all, Air Force, retired. Now you're doing what you're doing, public sector. Give us a background. How did you get from, you know, through your career to where you're at now?
Yeah, absolutely. I did spend 26 years in the Air Force as a communications officer, where a lot of our job was connecting warfighters, really making their jobs easier. So it was all about connectivity. It was all about getting information to decision makers when and where they needed it. So we created these pretty elaborate networks. And now, as time has gone on, the security aspects of it, the cyber hacking, all of the different aspects of cyber warfare have come to light. So towards the end of my career, I was more in the lines of the cyber warfare world and developing requirements for capabilities for the Air Force to be able to combat that.
Mm-hmm.
So this natural flow to Forescout Technologies was based on the cybersecurity world that I found myself in towards the end of my career.
Okay. So, and we, I know your Forescout is Internet of Things. So you're really addressing this new growth market. I have stats that I talk about with our students and our new programs here about that, you know, over the next 10 years, we're slated for about a 50% growth in traditional information security, IT. But in Internet of Things, we're looking at a 300 to 400+% growth rate.
Yeah, absolutely. I read a statistic just the other day that it's taken us about 25 years in the traditional sense of networking to get to 10 billion devices on the internet, connected.
Mm-hmm.
The prediction is that within the next 5 years, that number will be up above 30 billion. And the growth is not in your standard desktops and laptops. The growth is in endpoints that are what's categorized in the Internet of Things.
Yeah. So having gone through, you know, and being in the military, working with the IT in the military, there's a big difference. Can you put a finger on, hey, here's what that difference is in security between what I saw in the military to what the need is in IoT?
Yes. The networks in the military, specifically my experience in the Air Force, have been more about connecting information. So the more traditional devices. But as technology has moved on, because that infrastructure was there to connect laptops, servers, your more administrative command and control type operations, because that infrastructure is already there, these other devices, industrial control systems, medical devices, all of those types of devices are using that connectivity to share the information that they share. And what that does then is it drives a fundamental switch in how we have to architect our security solutions for our networks.
So what is that fundamental shift? Before we get into that, I'm going to take a break and we're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll come right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to Dean Hollings, and we're talking about IoT here. And before the break, we started down the path of looking at what is the fundamental difference in security between the needs for IoT and what we've already been doing for quite a few years in information security.
That's a great question, and it's a little bit challenging to really put your finger on exactly what the differences are. But what it really comes down to is a lot of the traditional devices, the traditional systems that we've put in place for securing desktops and laptops and servers are based on a communication between what's called an agent or a supplicant, a small piece of code that is actually put on the end device, the laptop, the desktop.
So if you have 100 devices on your network, a small piece of software running on all of them, that's what you're calling an agent.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that agent then speaks back to a server.
Kind of a management tool on a computer that coordinates them all.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. A management tool that collects all the information and really allows that server then to understand the health, the security health, if you will, of those end devices. What the fundamental switch is, as you go to networking these non-traditional devices that are being driven by the Internet of Things, those endpoints generally are not able. The operating systems that they use are much more streamlined, so they're not able to take one of these agents. You just simply can't put an agent on a device such as a thermostat, one of the thermostats that hangs on your wall at home or in an office complex. So then that leaves them vulnerable because you don't have that agent that is providing the health and status of the security of the endpoints. You don't have something like that reporting back to give your administrators, your security folks, an understanding of what vulnerabilities might be there or what kind of activity, malicious activity might be happening on that end device.
Okay, so if you're looking at we don't have the capability to have an agent on there, software running on there, or maybe it's just because there's so much growth so fast, we have to have a way to manage the growth before they get the ability to communicate, before they get the ability of the agent. So looking at, from what I understand of Forescout, is, you know, the solution that you look at is, let me passively and actively monitor what's going on in all these hundreds, millions of devices on a network and make some assessment of them without them having to participate in that security model.
Yeah, that's correct. That's a great way to put it. One of the things that we tend to say is, if you want to understand what is on your network, you need to ask the network, not ask the endpoints to tell you. So we operate at the switch level, so plugged into the network fabric, the network infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And then use, as you mentioned, different techniques, both active and passive, to understand the traffic, to understand information that's being pulled from other tools that are already on a network, and correlate all of that information to be able to then categorize and really understand those devices that are plugged into the network, whether it's a traditional device like a Windows desktop, or a non-traditional device like an industrial control system sensor, or a medical device that's in an operating room, or all of these other devices that are connecting and pulling IP addresses and using that IP network for connectivity.
Mm-hmm. So, man, I have several questions when you start thinking about this. If we look at the and I've worked a lot in IoT security, so the one pretense I feel almost missing is in so many IoT systems, the communication from point to point needs to be trusted in order to send that information to perform electromechanical things that are happening on your body for medical equipment. Mm-hmm. So if it's doing something, you're reading something. So how do you see that a monitoring of the network and passively collecting or even actively pinging does a support for that privacy aspect of the communications?
Well, so what you're really looking for then is what is normal behavior. So as you just pointed out, medical devices traditionally talk from the sensor that is on a body. For instance, I recently heard of socks for babies that are monitoring the oxygen level in a baby's blood. Mm-hmm. That sensor is then talking specifically back to a server that's gathering that information and monitoring that information and presenting it to the doctors and the nurses. So that trust is there. It's when that behavior changes to something else. So
you're looking more of a trending analysis, behavioral monitoring type of, let me know when something has happened to my security posture for maybe, or which devices are exhibiting behaviors, but not as much actively working on the security point to point between the communications.
That's
you're
correct.
You're taking the let me know what's out there, let me monitor and gather, more so than let me implement a security transmission between these two devices and the device and the agent and the manager, as we kind of defined it.
Yes, that's correct. We want to understand what is normal behavior. We want to understand what those devices normally do. And then the second big aspect of what we do after you understand your network and the behavior of your network is to be able to control that through policies. So if these oxygen sensing socks stop talking specifically to their server, mm-hmm. but instead that device for some reason is making calls to a financial database or perhaps going out over the internet, mm-hmm. that's obviously behavior that a oxygen sensing sock on a baby is not supposed to do. So somebody should be able to take action to make that happen. So
yeah. Your refrigerator might be ordering eggs and milk, but it shouldn't be buying a car, right?
That is correct. Exactly. Very, very good analogy. So that's the second big aspect of what's necessary in this magnitude of the network as it explodes with all of these new devices, is as your security administrators are not going to be able to keep up with every single alert that comes across their desk. Mm-hmm. So the ability to automate the controls based on a policy. If this condition exists, I want you to take this action. And that action could be anything from just alerting someone that maybe this is malicious behavior, it's at least not normal behavior, you should take a look at it, all the way to blocking that device from that activity. So if these socks start talking to across the internet, maybe we want to stop that activity. Or in your analogy, if the refrigerator starts, you know, interfacing with a car dealership, maybe you want to block that activity from happening at all.
So you're then looking at the solution to this problem is monitor and connect into the network segmentation devices to start to create rule sets on the as on demand, basically.
Absolutely. And your rule sets are built on this network segmentation that you just mentioned. Every user is not going to be the same, right? Mm-hmm. Every device that plugs into the network is not going to be trusted or behave like every other device. So being able to segment the network, still have the same physical network, but logically separate it, logically segment it, and then wrap your security policies around the buckets or the bins or the different categories of devices, gives system administrators a whole lot of flexibility and allows them to really then focus their talent, their knowledge, on the hard to solve problems and let an automated system control those more day-to-day mundane type obvious security risks.
Okay, so we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, though, I want to know some industry trends and what problems we're solving with this technology.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dean Hollings with Forescout, and a very interesting conversation about where the needs for IoT security are, and basically just identifying at first what's on our networks, because so many of these endpoint devices are just getting thrown on, I guess, especially in hospitals, factories. You know, we're looking at our homes being connected up, smart houses. Give us some understanding of what solutions are being solved with what you're talking about. What's in the market and what are we solving?
Well, there's a lot of existing tools out there that are stovepipe. They're control systems are building security for their own devices. Problems in standards are kind of driving this. Mm-hmm. But if you have a tool, if you create an environment that is really treating a connection to the network for just that, it makes it a lot easier to control that overall network security if you just treat the devices connecting as a connection and then be able to wrap, as we were just discussing, those security policies around the different buckets. It allows users to manage risk because, mm-hmm. There's cases out there where alerts have happened and administrators just flat out didn't have time to get to every single alert to investigate it to find out whether it was a false alert or a real alert. So what the capability to orchestrate all of these different tools that are feeding information to a kind of a hypervisor, more of a controlling type capability.
Hypervisor. That's on the management side. That's something that puts everything together.
Well, so this is kind of managing the security. Yes, it's the same kind of philosophy, but you've got your SIM tools. You have your advanced threat detectors.
SIM. Describe that. We use so many acronyms sometimes in security. SIM is.
Event management system. Okay. Correct, and there's multiple products.
Those are systems that are like a screen where a bunch of people sit in a security operations center, and it's plugged into all kinds of places across your network, and you're monitoring real time metrics of what's going on. That's what a SIM is.
Monitoring real time, and also some of the more advanced SIM tools are doing collaboration. They're finding different events and putting those events together and saying, hey, individually these three things wouldn't really alarm anyone, but put together, someone should go take a look at this and see whether it's an issue or not. But
and that might be something like somebody accessing information from a country across the world in the middle of the night. Those three things.
Sure. Abnormal behavior, abnormal behavior at abnormal times. Yes, SIMs will create that. Your ATD, your advanced threat detection, looks for indications of compromise. Again, things that are not normal, mm-hmm. but why is the issue? And a lot of times it's not malicious, but you certainly want to be able to weed out those ones that are malicious and take immediate action. So when I used the term hypervisor, it is coordinating. We we call it orchestrating. Mm-hmm. The third big piece of what our capability is able to do, and that gives you the opportunity to, based on policies, equate data between these different systems and then take action. Very often, your SIM tools, your advanced threat detectors, your alert and inform type tools, we give it that next step to say, okay, if this is a bad enough alert, I want you to take some immediate action to block or quarantine this device. Oh, by the way, what other devices look just like this device that perhaps have been compromised as well across my network? I probably want to quarantine them as well before we really know what's going on.
Okay, so still everything is from the perspective of we're looking at segments of our network and controlling rule sets of who can access and what traffic we allow through and what traffic we drop.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many different things happening across your network today. To be able to segment them and only allow ports that need to be open, only allow protocols that need to pass, let them pass for the individual buckets of categories of devices that are on your network.
Okay. So give us some industries that would be, you know, in dire need of these type of solutions. Who are we talking to here?
Yeah, so a big group of people are the financial database folks. There are plenty of interaction transactions that happen across financial networks, but when they get into the bigger financial databases and such, that kind of activity shouldn't be happening from an ATM machine or from your general user inside the company. So that's a case of more traditional IT base tied in with, you know, ATM machines or electronic.
So are we talking about people making transactions from their bring your own device, their whatever portable device they're
sure,
using?
Sure, your point squares, sales. Your okay. point of sales, all of those kinds of things. What happens is those become entry points for a hacker to then move laterally throughout the network. So these devices that we're talking about that are less protected aren't necessarily the target. They're a target of opportunity.
They're a point of entry.
A point of entry into the network.
Very so if we look at just a financial company that says, we want to monitor all the squares we have coming in and use a system like you're talking about to just look for anomalies, differences, know what's normal and what the baseline is, so we then can see when something's happening out of normal. That's a great use case for what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. And then the second aspect of that is once it's identified, take immediate action or, you know, some sort of an immediate action, because a lot of what's happening in cyberspace happens so quickly. There's very little time for system administrators, security administrators to react. So if you can, based on the policies that you put into your policy engine, if you can at least contain that problem, then you don't have proliferation across the network. You don't have the...
So what we're looking at here is almost like an immediate triage system where you're, first of all, you plug in, you understand what's going on, and then when something happens, you contain or you triage immediately until getting some human in the loop to do some kind of a action.
That's a great way to look at it. Again, it's all about visibility. If you don't know what's on your network, it's tough to secure it. But then, yes, an automated triage type environment.
I just gave your elevator speech.
I like that. There you go.
So how can, if we're looking at things like the self-driving cars and stuff, and those networks were going to be, how do you see system like that working with something of that magnitude?
So right now our capabilities are wrapped around IP-based networks.
Okay.
So on an automated vehicle, you have a different bus and different protocols. But clearly, at some point, those kinds of devices do tie into IP networks somewhere for updates or to share information. For instance, my vehicle talks to a database back at Ford that keeps track of the health of my engine and all the different components of my car. So clearly, inside the vehicle is different than when that vehicle then connects back to a bigger network. So a device, a capability like we're talking about today, would be able to figure out, once that connection is made to the IP network, is it making the calls back to the normal, what is normal, updates either to or from the vehicle itself? Or is it going somewhere else within, in this case, Ford's, you know, master system, if you will, their big corporate system? Has the vehicle been hacked? And then it's, again, then the vehicle becomes that point of entry.
Okay. Interesting. Other use cases or industries that you're working with currently that are really optimized for what we're talking about?
Yeah. We were just down in Panama City working with some of the companies that are developing cybersecurity for their industrial control systems.
Okay.
So industrial control systems, there's a lot of protocols out there, again, that the device on the wall is talking back to a master server, collecting that information and not using IP, although a lot of them are moving to IP. But then again, that master server is tied into an IP network. So if, in this case, the thermostat is talking to a master system, but that thermostat gets hacked and becomes the entry point into the network, and now that server starts talking to some financial database or a personnel database or something else that's on the bigger, broader IP network, clearly that's something that we want to be able to control. So that's where they, the industrial control, the Honeywells, the Siemens, all of these folks that are building these devices want to understand what kind of security is out there to help them grow into, if you will, as they move towards more IP-based solutions.
Are you planning to go into, or do you work with any of the SCADA or DMP3 protocols?
Well, so right now, I don't really have too much data on what's on our corporate, you know, future planning. But clearly, we're tracking what's happening in those markets to make sure that we can find out where the interfaces, where we can help provide the solution to those kinds of interfaces as well.
Okay, so kind of in wrapping up here, can you give us a how can people reach out to you? Who are your customers? Who is the, hey, if you have this problem, contact us here. What kind of a solutions and people are you looking for to connect with?
Yeah, so really what we, when we go and talk to a potential customer, we're not only working with the network infrastructure folks to show them the ability to understand what's on their network, but we're also working with the information assurance type people, the folks that are looking at compliance, the folks that are wondering what the patch level is of the, you know, the operating system or any kind of application that's on a managed device. So they're the kinds of folks that should be reaching out to us. We have a website that is very user friendly and can get some semblance of a demonstration going, and certainly
your site is forescout.com.
Forescout.com, and if people want to go there and poke around a little bit and fill out a quick point of contact type answer sheet, or
you'll get in touch with them.
We'll get in touch with them.
So are you looking at end use networks or more products, companies that make products that get designed in, as a next generation design in?
Yeah, well, certainly there's also on our website that if there are new products, emerging products out there, how can they interface with us? Currently we have, through open API interfaces, we have integrations with more than 80 different off-the-shelf products that are out there. But certainly we're not done, because there's new better products, more advanced products that are coming on the market every day. So potential partners can also find information on our website on how to tap into that world as well.
All right. Well, definitely interesting. It's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks for joining today, Dean.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.